This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's an honor to welcome back to this studio John Knapp. He's a senior economist at the University of Virginia Center for Economic and Policy Studies at the Weldon Cooper Center for Public Service. How are you, sir?
Glad to be here, Coy.
Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. John, let's start with before we start talking about your recent editorial, Virginia's Tax System is a Creaky Antique, which I love that title. Remind us again, just a John Knapp 101, where you're from and a little bit about your career.
Well, I'm here in Charlottesville, and I've been in Charlottesville at UVA since 1973. And prior to that, I was in Richmond. I worked for a while for the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond and then for the Commonwealth. I was involved in economic development and in planning programs.
There you go. So what prompted this fantastic article that you wrote, Virginia's Tax System is a Creaky Antique?
Well, I've had a long history of being involved in state and local government finance and in revenue forecasting and tax analysis and such, and sort of sitting on the sidelines just watching things transpire. And I wrote an article for a publication at Virginia Tech called Issues and Answers.
Sure, yeah.
About the tax structure of the state, and then we turned that into an op-ed that was in the Richmond Times-Dispatch with the catchy title that you
mentioned. Yeah, yeah, I love that. So let's start with, before we start talking about what some of the solutions might be, really explain to us where it's broken and what's not working and what makes our tax system a creaky antique.
Well, to be forthright and honest about this thing, tax systems are broken in all of the 50 states right now. Of course, this very severe recession is causing a really rough impact on the states. And if it's modest relief to know that Virginia is not suffering as much as some other states, but we're feeling it hard. So I don't think it's not the tax structure alone that's caused this current problem. But as we look ahead, we want to look at our tax structure. And one thing I noted is the individual income tax, the rate brackets are very archaic. We need to look at that. The sales and use tax, we started that in 1966. We started fairly broad-based, but then over the years, and responding to public pressures, legislators have reduced the tax on food for home consumption that you buy at the grocery store. They've taken the tax off of non-prescription drugs. And, of course, the service economy has grown tremendously, and there's been a reluctance to tax services. And we have some really interesting anomalies, like you have when you go get your car repaired, they break down the bill for you, and the portion of the bill that's on parts you pay the sales tax on, and the portion that's on labor, you don't pay the sales tax. And then with the growth of interstate, with the internet and with online transactions and such, if the seller is solely located in another state and does not have a presence in Virginia, then those transactions are not taxed. Yeah. So we're losing some revenue there.
My guest live in studio is John Knapp. He's a senior economist at UVA Center for Economic and Policy Studies at the Cooper Center for Public Service. And the phone lines are open if you've got a question about taxes here in Virginia or a comment at 977-1070. You write in your article, John, and I think this really hits it so well, that this whole tax system that we have, the state tax system, mm-hmm. was really cobbled together over the years. There is no overarching vision, hey, folks, let's do it like this. It's sort of just ad hoc.
Well, I think that reflects reality, Coy. I don't think you can find any state that the whole tax system was born on one day. These things evolve over time, and they also evolve with the changing economy. After all, in America, we've moved from a primarily an agrarian economy to a very urbanized economy with tremendous dependence on services and other activities that are entirely different animals as far as taxation is concerned.
Can you talk a little bit about how the financing in Virginia and the economy of Virginia has been affected by the loss of the manufacturing base? And for those who just moved to Virginia, they should know that so much of Virginia history has been in manufacturing. I know that in 1940, the two most populous counties in Virginia were Wise County, where they were digging for coal, and I think it was Pennsylvania County because of manufacturing down there with textiles and furniture.
River mills and stuff.
And unbelievable. And now they're two of the least populous places in Virginia, two of the most rural, two of the most economically hard-hit places in Virginia, Southwest and Southside.
Well, Virginia, relatively speaking, as a percentage of its economy, was never as dependent upon manufacturing as the nation as a whole. But as recently as, say, 25 or 30 years ago, people in economic development and such saw as the solution to economic growth is to get more manufacturing. That's gone.
Yeah.
And in fact, we've lost, like every other state in the nation, I assume, we've lost manufacturing employment.
That's where Ross Perot was right, wasn't he? When he said, you'll hear this giant sucking sound from NAFTA as all your jobs go elsewhere. They certainly did. All those manufacturing jobs found the cheap labor, whether it was in Mexico or Guatemala or China or wherever.
Yeah, but to a large extent, that's been replaced by other types of industries that we didn't even know of 10, 15, 20 years ago. So to the extent that you have a very flexible economy, and that's one of the virtues of the U.S. relative to other parts of the world, you allow for innovation and new enterprises to develop and such. And so I remember something we used to call blue chip stocks, the railroads and U.S. Steel and GM. And so, they're not the blue chip stocks anymore. It's names we were totally unaware of many years ago.
Right.
IBM or Google or you name it.
We're talking with John Knapp, a senior economist at UVA Center for Economic and Policy Studies. John, what are your recommendations about the income tax structure? You've talked about the tiers and the how we need to perhaps look at restructuring how people are taxed. What are your ideas on that?
Well, on the income tax, and I think the way to go is to get away from the 2% bracket and the 3% bracket. That gets you up to $5,000 of taxable income, and then you start moving up. You move up to a 5% bracket, and then finally, at about $17,000, you kick into a 5.5% bracket. And these numbers are archaic in terms of modern-day prices and modern-day incomes, and I'd prefer to see either a flat rate on all taxable income or just a couple of brackets, but make the first bracket, say, go out to the first $15,000 of taxable income. Notice each time I say taxable income. Taxable income is after your broad gross income and then taking out your deductions and your exemptions and such, you get down to taxable income.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this whole flat tax phenomenon?
Well, that's what I'm referring to there. I'm comfortable with it, but many are not, and so I would accept a mild degree of progression if need be.
So you think it's something that we should take a serious look at?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
And why is that? What is
and
it
also, I would look at something like exemptions. And an exemption in Virginia is worth a lot more to somebody who's in a higher bracket than somebody in a low bracket. And so I would change exemptions so that it would just be a credit against your taxable income. It would be the same amount for everyone. So this wouldn't be a subsidy for high-income people. They wouldn't get a larger reduction than a lower income person.
Because that's what's happening. The greater the income, the more the rest of us have to carry that because they get a greater break.
Yeah,
right?
Well, of course, there's a lot of populism right now in the national debates about income taxation. And I think avoided is the fact that you're going to have to tax, however we define middle income, pretty strongly, but to raise the necessary revenue. This idea that there's some tiny fringe of the very high income, the wealthy, that can bear the whole tax burden is very overstated.
We're talking with John Knapp. He's a senior economist at the University of Virginia Center for Economic and Policy Studies. He's been at UVA since, what did you say,
1973.
What do we do about transportation? How do we fund it? Because clearly there's a problem.
That was one of my big points in the op-ed piece. First of all, it's rather curious that there's a good deal of press attention given to the taxation, the general fund, how much is collected each month. There's an announcement by the state and such, and so we know how that's doing. Yesterday, when the governor met with the money committees and such, and the presentations were made, they were almost solely focused on the general fund. But we have this separate fund, which is the transportation fund, and the highway expenditures from state sources are the major sources of revenue, are a 3% sales tax when you buy a new or used vehicle, the 17.5% motor vehicle fuel tax, which is per gallon, and then a portion of the general sales tax goes over to the transportation fund. So those are the three sources.
That's it.
Yeah, that's mainly it. Oh, you have driver's licenses and some other
little fees here and there
charge.
That kick
yeah,
into it.
But
and the gas tax, relatively speaking.
The motor fuels tax,
that's the
first
big one.
Of all, that's a very important one. And having been left at the what it was back at the time of Governor Belial.
Over 20 years.
Yeah, 17.5 cents bought a lot more in that day than it does today, but it's never been adjusted for inflation. On top of that, you've had large gains in fuel economy of vehicles, and that's headed in only one direction, both with the federal standards for higher efficiency and with the reaction of consumers to what looks like in the future ever higher prices of motor fuel. So those things put together are going to reduce or are going to really slow the growth of that
yeah.
source of revenue.
So long-term, taxing gas is not a smart way to fund transportation creation and maintenance in Virginia, right?
Well, if you are going to tax fuel, then I would say you want to either adjust the rate fairly often to reflect inflation and over time, or automatically factor it in with, say, a consumer price or some index or something like that used to adjust the rate.
Right, right.
But the other thing is with the movement to energy-efficient cars, first of all, hybrids, you know, they're depends on which manufacturer and such, but they can frequently get in the range of 25 to 50 miles per gallon. Also, down the road, so to speak, in the future, if we do get all electric cars, how on earth are you going to tax that at the pump? So one thing I mentioned in my article was there's been some discussion nationally about a so-called vehicle miles traveled tax. And actually, there was an experiment on such a tax in Oregon a few years ago, and the initial results looked pretty good. But basically, they used modern technology, GPS, global positioning satellite, and then they could track how many miles a car or vehicle had covered and tax them on that basis.
So that points more towards a what I've heard referred to as a consumption tax. So if you get taxed on the extent to which you actually use
yeah,
the public infrastructure.
Now, of course, as I mentioned, another source of revenue is the sales tax when you buy a new or used vehicle.
Yeah, yeah.
But that that is a significant source of revenue in a normal vehicle market, not right now because of what's happened.
Right.
But that tax is unrelated to the number of miles you drive. And if you're trying to develop a user charge so that you charge people to some extent in relation to their use of the roads and such, then a tax like a sales tax on new and used vehicles doesn't have the features that some kind of vehicle miles traveled tax has.
Yeah. And, of course, right behind that, I can hear it now, childless families out there saying, hey, we ought to have the same kind of tax for the schools. You know, I'm not using the local schools. Why should I have taxes that go to pay for the schools if I don't have kids in the schools?
Well, I think this is one reason why so many states follow the Virginia example of segregating their highway revenues, of sort of earmarking them, because this is an opportunity to relate the usage.
Yeah, the activity to the
activity. I think education is so much more of a general thing for society that
that's
why it's usually funded through the broad taxes.
Got a couple of minutes left. I'm wondering, what are your thoughts about Governor Kane's announcement this week that we're looking at yet again very, very serious budget cuts, which, you know, that's going to affect the University of Virginia here in Charlottesville enormously. Exactly how, we don't know yet, but
absolutely. And I don't know, your listeners, some of your listeners might find it interesting to, you can Google Virginia Secretary of Finance. And on that website, there is the presentation that was made to the Senate and House Money Committees yesterday by Rick Brown, the Secretary of Finance. And that provides in detail their forecast for the economy and what they went through in arriving at these forecasts. It's a somber forecast. It really is.
Yeah.
Very, very somber, and could well mean layoffs and compulsory furloughs and cutbacks of many vital programs.
Seriously, we could be looking at people at the University of Virginia losing their jobs. I mean,
absolutely.
That really could happen. Hasn't happened yet to a big
degree. And of course, the institutions of higher education, unlike many other functions of government, do have their own revenue stream in terms of tuition. Now, this is rough on the students and the parents, but and this has been a course followed, though, by the institutions of higher education.
You have to look to the revenue streams that you have, though.
Yeah.
John Knapp is a senior economist at the University of Virginia Center for Economic and Policy Studies at the Weldon Cooper Center for Public Service. John, thank you for being here. I've enjoyed it.
Well, thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.